Yeah, so once again, good morning to our Q3 2022 financial earnings call. Together with my colleague, Dr. Riad Noralla, I will guide you through the key developments of this third quarter 2022. Let us take a look at the summary. Yeah, I'm happy to report that in Q3, Illumeo succeeded in clearly outperforming the market thanks to the decisive measures that we took and we started to take already in Q1 after outbreak of war. We have been able to clearly outperform the market and record the 10th consecutive positive result with an adjusted EBITDA of 0.71 million euro, which is slightly above Q3 2021. Illumeo's operating cash flow with €82K is positive despite the investments in the new video shopping app Juli. And all this happened in a highly challenging economical context. As you know, the massive inflation rates that we have seen, especially in the past months, have caused a massive loss in purchasing power, resulting, as I will show you in one of the next slides, in a new all-time low of the German consumer confidence index. According to the Bundesverband E-Commerce and Versandhandel, the total German online jewelry sales decreased by 21.7% in Q3 2022. In contrast to this, we can clearly see that for Illumeo, the worst has been overcome and the market has been clearly outperformed. Revenue in Q3 decreased only by 6.3% compared to previous year, resulting in a total revenue of €10.9 million. And for the first three quarters, we recorded a decrease of 8.7%. Please bear in mind that 35% of this decrease comes from the reduction of our Italian TV business, which, as I have previously already presented, is accompanied by disproportionately high savings in the broadcasting cost. If we only look at the German live business without the Italian segment, I am happy to report that we are back on the path of growth, resulting in a positive growth in September, as I will show you in the upcoming slides. Also, our Juli app continues to develop very nicely. We have now almost 600 channels worldwide. And finally, regarding the outlook, we confirm the revenue and earnings forecasts. Sales will decline in the single-digit percentage, and the adjusted EBITDA will be in the low million range. Let us come to the next slide of the 10th profitable of the development of the quarters. I think we can probably skip these slides presenting the general company strategy, which I believe you all know, and immediately take a look at the development of our business since beginning of 2020, with the first profitable quarter we had in Q2. And yeah, as I said, despite the challenging economic circumstances, in this quarter, we achieved the 10th consecutive profitable quarter with an adjusted EBITDA of 0.71 million, 6.5% higher than Q3 2021. So let us take a look on the next slide. On the general market situation of Q3. Here you can see the consumer sentiment index for Germany, our core market of the GfK, the Gesellschaft für Konsumforschung. The index is based on three main indicators: economic expectations, income expectations, and propensity to buy. And after a record low of this index that I have already presented in our half-year presentation, the consumer index, as you can see, has plummeted further to a new all-time low in September 2022, mainly caused, as you know, by the high inflation rates, which are leading to real income losses and thus reduced purchase power of the consumers. Not surprisingly, this affected the retail market in general. Not only the online jewelry market, also in general, multi-channel retailer went down by 21.5% in Q3 compared to previous year. So let us take a look at how Illumeo performed under these conditions, and especially our main life business, which accounts for about 2/3 of our total revenue. In the graph on the left side, you can see the development of our growth rates, always comparing each quarter with the previous year quarter. So from Q4 2021 compared to Q4 2020 until Q3 2022 compared to Q3 2021. And after growth in Q4 2021, the first quarter of this year, as you know, we had to record a significant drop in revenue down to minus 13%. And since then, despite the deterioration of the economic conditions, our life business has recovered in the following months and returned to a positive growth in September. You can see this on the top right graphic, with a revenue increase of 2% compared to the previous month, September 2021. And yeah, one success factor was our strong autumn sale, in which we have been able to activate a high number of customers, plus 15% active customers compared to the autumn sale we did in 2021. And furthermore, we have launched several new brands already end of Q2 and in Q3. These brands clearly perform above average, achieving a profit per show minute, our main KPI to measure performance of brands, that is 30% also in Q3, 30% higher compared to the average brand performance. So here, our fast supply chain helped us to quickly react to consumer preferences, and all new brands launched have a positive PPM. Also, as part of our digitalization strategy, we continued to develop the live show experience in our mobile app, resulting in a mobile revenue increase of 6% in Q3 compared to previous year quarter. Concerning the webshop on the next slide, we can see that after two exceptional growth rates in 2 years, in 2020 and 2021, the revenue stays clearly above pre-pandemic level with a plus 64% compared to the quarter 2019 pre-pandemic. Of course, Q3 2022 was challenging and we had to record a decline in revenue. However, compared to the total online jewelry market, which went down by 22% in Q3, our webshop has clearly outperformed the market by nearly 50%. And one factor that contributed to this was our clear mobile-first strategy, which resulted in an improvement of the conversion rate for mobile traffic of 14% in Q3 compared to last year's quarter. Also, we have used the time to make some significant structural changes in our marketing channels. Similar to a hotel who used the time of the Corona lockdown to renovate their hotel room or hotel rooms, we have invested time and also some marketing money into restructuring our Google account, which we have switched to full artificial intelligence bidding. It took some time during Q3 to learn for the AI, but our marketing channels are now very well prepared for the new customer acquisition during the Black Friday season and the Christmas season and Q4 and the upcoming quarters in general. Let us take a look at the development of Julie on the next slide. Also, our Julie project is developing very nicely. As you can see here, Julie has grown to almost 600 channels worldwide now, with an improved scalability by further reducing the cost per new channel. And on the right side, you can see that also the number of users continues to grow to now about 800,000 users. On the next slide, we see that we have made significant improvements in different areas. One major area was the improvement of usability. We improved the video play out, for example, seeking and pause of the video, the embedding videos in merchant shops. We created better sales and usage statistics for our merchants. We improved the channel presentation with a video overview, and in general, put a clear focus on a customer-first usability for the app. The second major area was the improvement of the AI algorithm, one of the core features of Julie. The algorithm has been updated and further improved, and the first results of the currently running A/B test shows a 30% uplift in user performance. The third area of improvement concerns the testings we are doing in virtual reality. We have developed the first two fully functional immersive prototypes for VR headsets. And yeah, as you can imagine, VR brings video shopping to a totally new level, allowing an immersive experience. Yeah, the way forward, I would like to give, before handing over to my colleague Riyad for the financial data, some examples of sales performance and sales improvements that we have planned for Q4 of this year. For the first time of the history of the company, we decided to do a full month of Black Friday sales, so not only a week or a weekend, offering throughout the whole month of November a high density of promotions, of vouchers, of special actions, new guests, and thus increasing the revenue per customer. Also for Q4, we are planning a lot of fresh product premieres, which always have a good profit per minute. And we are planning to launch new show formats, offering our customers in general an attractive Q4 program and appealing Christmas season program, and yeah, thus increasing the buying frequency of our customers, bringing back customers, and increasing in general the revenue per customer and total revenue. Finally, we will continue our digitalization strategy, putting a focus on new mobile app features, bidding app functions, bringing together the web shop and the bidding app even more closely with a single login. We launched two online-only video streams and are making important progress on a fully personalized video shopping experience in our web shops.
Yeah, let us come to the financials in Q3 2022, and let's take there a look. If we take a look at Q3 2022, we see, of course, like a decline in the revenues. However, as Florian already mentioned and explicitly said, we are clearly outperforming the market. So summarizing, the minus 6.4% are quite good result. We see the same reflection within the gross profit and within the margin, and which is really very good. So adjusted EBITDA, which in comparison to the last quarter, Q3 2021, rose by 6.8%. Let's take a look at the first 9 months in whole together. So we see a decline in the revenues of 8.7%. Gross profit declined by 11.2%. Overall adjusted EBITDA by minus 25.1%. And overall, we see really like starting in Q3 and especially like also like in September, really like the change in the atmosphere. If we take a further look at the costs, so we see clearly that we reached and achieved in decreasing the reach cost by 10.5%, driven by our optimization of the Italian TV business. And nevertheless, we make high investments in our app, video shopping app, Julie. And nevertheless, we succeeded in 10 consecutive positive adjusted EBITDA. If we take a look at the major adjustments we made for the adjusted EBITDA, first of all, they comprise the video shopping app Julie with 1.3 million euros. And the other part is our option program with roughly 200K euros. Let's go further. And let's take a look at the key performance indicators. And there we can see really like apart like from the operative result, we see, which is very quite interesting, is the cash flow. So we succeeded in achieving a positive operating cash flow of 882K euros. And I think overall, this is a very good success. Let's take a look at the other KPIs. I think they really reflect the shift in our business. We see really the new customer breakdown coming really like from the web market. Overall, everything like in expected horizon. Outlook. The outlook is confirmed. So as we said in the beginning of the year, that we have a high volatility, but nevertheless, we are sure that we keep our outlook, which says concretely that we expect a single-digit decrease and adjusted EBITDA will be in the low single-digit million range. And we never shall forget so that the major or that the big part, roughly 35% of the decrease comes from the TV business in Italy, which we succeeded in optimization. Let's take a look. So the outlook 2022 is confirmed. Also like the gross profit margin will be stable at over 50%. And as already said, adjusted EBITDA is to be expected in the low single digit million range. Then thank you very much.
Yeah, many thanks, Riyad. Thanks, everyone. This was the presentation of our Q3 financial data. And we will now start to do the Q&A session. And it would be perfect if you could use the Zoom function and raise your hand if you have a question. You will then be activated. Your microphone will then be activated by our colleague. So I see the first hand raised by Mr. Frey.
Yeah, hello guys. It's actually quite refreshing. You're probably the first call I have this earnings season where excess inventory shouldn't be a topic. So nice for this refreshing change. So in that regard, probably can you talk a bit about what are you seeing in terms of customer preference changes? Well, you mentioned lots of new products with higher margins. And so do you see a general shift to lower price products, or are you seeing also a bit more investment-driven demand, anything? And what implications are you seeing for gross profit margins? Are you actually at all concerned regarding the pretty high comparison in gross profit that you have in the fourth quarter of this year? So probably some color on that on start with. Would continue one by one if it's okay for you.
Yes, that would be perfect. So many thanks, Mr. Fry. Yes, indeed. I think it's good to see that our inventory level remained very stable. If you compare end of 2021 with end of Q3, it's exactly the same level. And this was possible thanks to our close relationship with the manufacturers we have, allowing us to very quickly react. This very responsive supply chain allowed us on one side to reduce the line sizes. So what does this mean? We quickly reduced line sizes per product line. So instead of, for example, buying 50 pieces of a ring, we only had 30 pieces of a ring and didn't have the problem of an exceeded inventory, remained flexible and were able to adapt to customer preferences, which is a complicated topic. On one side, especially in the beginning of the crisis, we saw a shift towards higher priced brands, higher priced items. So indeed, as you said, Mr. Fry, we have this investment topic, of course. At the same time, in the past months, we have also seen an interest in the lower priced section. We have seen an interest in new designs and therefore, it's not one clear thing. It's just a general development towards different topics that we can see and where we are always very quickly able to react to.
Sounds good. And in that regard, probably for sourcing costs, well, we can say that you had quite some headwind over the last 6 months, also from a currency point of view. Are you getting a bit more relaxed now that, for example, the Indian rupee is starting to devaluate, or how do you see it as a headwind going forward?
Yeah, I mean, we had this topic, I think, since always, mm-hmm. And sometimes there's headwind, sometimes there isn't. So I think in general, we are quite relaxed on this. And I mean, as you know, we don't have anymore just one single manufacturer. We have over 30 suppliers throughout the whole world. Of course, there are major hubs in Thailand and India, but we are much more flexible compared to a couple of years ago. And this allows us to easily react to the different developments.
Sounds good. And marketing costs increased 20%, which particularly in light of this investment, certainly a good result. Was there also an increase in marketing for Juvelo, or is this mostly driven by Julie? Probably the first one. And then can you talk about, you lumped together the customer acquisition costs that at Julie in the US and India. Is there any reason, are they structurally closer together than the US and Germany, or probably you can talk about that a bit as well?
Sure. I will start with the marketing costs in general. So yes, huge part is driven by Julie. At the same time, we kept the marketing investments on Juvelo on a stable level, which could also surprise. So why didn't we reduce it? And this is, as I said in the presentation, this happened for a particular reason. Since we switched in Google to a new technology, it was important for us to take this time of a reduced traffic to well prepare for a strong Q4, to do the switch, to invest some time into it, and to make sure the artificial intelligence of Google can learn in order to now be well positioned for a good customer acquisition in this last and important fourth quarter.
Sounds good. All the best for Q4.
Okay, and I would like to answer the question regarding Julie and the launch in the United States. As you all know, we planned our launch for the United States of America prior to February of this year, and our entire setup changed quite significantly after that. The launch for the United States was always managed through our team in India. So the American market has been fully managed and administered from India. And in the American market, we do have some specific American channels, but we do also have some of the Indian channels who are broadcasting their content into the United States of America, which is why it is a little bit tricky to separate these channels from each other. And in particular, it's tricky to do this in customer acquisition cost because other than in Germany and in India, the American market relies much more on organic traffic because we have decided not to go all in on American customers prior to consolidating our development in Germany and India, which is just because of the fact that cash flow in Juvelo is fortunately still stable and fortunately still very good, but at the same time, we still do have this crisis and we try to manage the development of Julie in a way that we do not spend more money on Julie that we can make on Juvelo in order to be able to sustain this development for a very long time. We believe that the worst of the crisis has been put behind us, but we all don't know how this is going to develop in the future. And we also all don't know how long this crisis is going to take. And we try in Julie, but also in Juvelo, to follow the directive of Jack Welch of GE, who said, we hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So clearly we're trying to be cautious in further marketing investments, in particular in the US, which is why we're not kind of trying to separate this and develop it differently.
Sounds good. And congratulations on an increasing marketing efficiency in that regard as well. So with that, I'm stopping to monopolize you. Thanks for the presentation and answers. All the best for Q4.
Many thanks, Mr. Fry. We have Mr. Friedman. Good morning, Mr. Friedman.
Und jetzt müssen Sie mich hören.
Ach, ja. Wohl, das tun wir.
ich habe ein paar Fragen. Und zwar habe ich Probleme, zuallererst die Zahl der aktiven Kunden in Q3 und in 9 Monaten sinnvoll auszurechnen. Könnten Sie mir diese Zahlen vielleicht geben?
Na klar. Ich glaube, das Einfachste ist, wenn ich Ihnen die Zahlen zusende.
Ja, können wir auch so machen. So vielleicht als Hinweis, es müsste sich ja eigentlich ausrechnen lassen aus diesen durchschnittlich verkauften Stücken pro Kunde, ja, und die verkauften Stücke insgesamt. Aber das führt zu keinem sinnvollen Ergebnis, wenn man das macht. Deshalb wäre nett, wenn Sie es mir zuschicken.
Ja, ich habe schon mal direkt eine Vermutung, die ich auf jeden Fall äußern kann. Die Frage ist natürlich immer, wie genau wird etwas betrachtet bei aktiven Kunden? Also es gibt die aktive Kundenbetrachtung bei behaltenen Stücken. Also ein Kunde kauft mindestens ein Stück und behält es. Es gibt die Betrachtung, es gab einen Kauf. Das heißt also, ein Kunde hat ein Stück gekauft und es ist unabhängig davon, ob er dieses Stück behalten hat oder nicht. Und in der Tat kann ich mir vorstellen, dass das je nachdem, was man gerade betrachtet, dazu führen kann, dass Zahlen nicht ganz zusammenpassen. Ich würde mir das einmal genau anschauen und mich bei Ihnen melden.
Ja, super, danke. dann die nächste Fragen, also eine Reihe von Fragen eigentlich zu Julie. Da ist mir ein bisschen schnell über diesen Chart rübergegangen. Ich habe jetzt die Zahl 793, ich nehme an, das sind 1000 Users im Kopf. Vielleicht könnten Sie nochmal diesen Slide da aufrufen.
Genau, Moment, wir sind gerade dabei. Dann ist es einfacher.
Wir hatten Florian, I can answer the question, but yeah. The presentation, you have to show the presentation.
Yes.
Hab ich denn diese Zahl 793.000 richtig verstanden?
Ja, yeah. Yes. Ja.
Wie hat sich denn die Zahl der ausgespielten Videos von diesen Usern entwickelt?
Überproportional gut. Wir haben ja auf der Seite danach gesagt, dass wir unseren Algorithmus, der aus sozusagen definiert, wer welcher User was bekommt, weiter optimiert haben. Wir haben den im Moment im AB-Testing, alte Version versus neue Version, und da liegen wir in den ausgespielten Videos knapp 30% über dem Wert vorher. Von daher liegt das überdurchschnittlich gut. Die exakte Zahl habe ich im Moment nicht im Kopf, würden wir aber in der veröffentlichten Präsentation nachreichen. Also in der Präsentation, wo es drin steht, werden wir da noch ein Bullet dazu schreiben und sagen, wie viele Videos das entspricht.
Okay.
Das sind Millionen, x Millionen Videos inzwischen.
Gibt es denn auch Käufe, die dann tatsächlich auch stattfinden? Sie müssen da keine Zahlen nennen, also dass ich ein Gefühl kriege, ob das jetzt nur ein Spielfeld für die derzeitigen Besucher darstellt oder ob die dann tatsächlich auch schon was tun. Auch wenn für die kein Geld rüberkommt im Moment.
Ja. Nein. Es gibt Käufe. Es gibt Käufe, die direkt über die App abgewickelt werden, die wir also direkt sehen. Es gibt Käufe, bei denen wir wissen, dass sie über die App vermittelt wurden, also Zuschauer von Julie auf den Webshop des jeweiligen Merchants weitervermittelt werden und dort dann den Kauf getätigt haben. Und dann gibt es eine relativ große Zahl von Traffic, die wir in die Webshops vermittelt haben, wo wir aber nicht wissen, ob das zu einem Kauf gekommen ist oder nicht. Das ist eine strategische Entscheidung in der Entwicklung von Julie gewesen, ganz zu Beginn, dass wir gesagt haben, wir wollen am Anfang möglichst viel User-Traction entwickeln und haben deswegen den Checkout nicht in der App, sondern auf den Webshops der Merchants, weil uns das halt die Möglichkeit gibt, sehr, sehr schnell neue Merchants zu onboarden. Im Laufe des nächsten Jahres werden wir anfangen, den Checkout Stück für Stück in die App reinzuziehen, was natürlich die Conversion deutlich erhöht und dann auch die Basis dafür legt, dass wir anfangen können, ordentlichen Umsatz zu generieren. Was wir dann machen werden, wenn wir beginnen, Julie für die Merchants kostenpflichtig zu machen.
Da war der Plan irgendwie nächstes Jahr Anfang oder Mitte, oder?
Werden wir sehen. Wir hatten ursprünglich mal mit dem Gedanken gespielt, das Anfang des Jahres kostenpflichtig zu machen. Im Moment würde ich eher auf Mitte des Jahres tippen. Das ist einfach ein Marktumfeld, in dem wir im Moment vorsichtig sind, und das hört sich jetzt auf den ersten Schritt komisch an, aber die Komplexität, die Abrechnung von Umsatz produziert, ist im Moment höher als der Benefit, den wir davon bekommen können. Das ist besser, wenn wir noch eine Weile schneller wachsen und dann damit anfangen, das zu berechnen.
Ja, okay, ne, finde ich gut. Und letzte Frage vielleicht zu Julie. Wenn man isoliert mal Deutschland betrachtet, können Sie da ein paar Kommentare geben, wie sich das entwickelt?
Deutschland entwickelt sich gut, nicht so schnell wie Indien, was hauptsächlich daran liegt, dass wir in Deutschland halt weiterhin eine geringere Anzahl an Kanälen haben. Wir liegen jetzt in Deutschland bei gut 120, 130 Kanälen, weil in Indien liegen wir inzwischen jenseits der 600. Und das ist für die Nutzbarkeit der App natürlich von zentraler Bedeutung, dass es möglichst viele Kanäle gibt. Von daher ist die User-Verweildauer in Indien im Moment schon höher als in Deutschland, aber es entwickelt sich in Deutschland auch gut, weil wir jetzt so langsam anfangen, diese kritische Masse zu haben, dass jeder, der in die App reinkommt, auch die Möglichkeit hat, das zu finden, was er sucht. Weswegen wir in Deutschland zuerst und dann werden wir es auch nach Indien ausrollen, voraussichtlich im vierten Quartal, wenn es gut geht und wenn es schlecht läuft, werden wir es im ersten Quartal nächsten Jahres machen, eine relativ umfangreiche Suchfunktion einführen werden. Wir haben im Moment eine relativ limitierte Suchfunktion. Wenn Sie in der App auf Suchen gehen, können Sie im Kern nur nach Kanälen suchen. Und mit dieser Suchfunktion, die wir neu einführen werden, wird man dazu in der Lage sein, sehr spezifisch nach Produkten zu suchen. Und das wird die Nutzbarkeit auch bei 120 Kanälen der App deutlich verbessern, um sozusagen auch dem deutschen Business an der Stelle einen Push zu geben. Aber, das möchte ich ganz ehrlich an der Stelle sagen, in der jetzigen Situation ist unser strategischer Fokus 100% auf dem indischen Markt. Das ist eine App, die ihren Vorteil aus dem Algorithmus zieht, der die Videos ausspielt. Dieser Algorithmus braucht ein großes Volumen und dieses große Volumen werden wir in Indien schneller generieren als in Deutschland. Sie können das sehen auf der linken Seite. Wir liegen jetzt bei neuer Kanalakquisitionskosten bei 37 Euro in Indien. Das heißt, wir können auch mit dem Cashflow, den Juvelo im Moment generiert, einfach wesentlich schneller in Indien skalieren. Und deswegen haben wir da unseren Fokus drauf.
Ja. Also jetzt schweift es ein bisschen ab, aber da kommt mir jetzt gerade der Gedanke an Instagram und TikTok, die ja unterschiedliche Algorithmen wohl drunter liegen haben. Ich nehme an, Sie kennen das Thema ein bisschen. Der, den Sie verwenden, wem ähnelt der mehr? Dem Prinzip von Instagram oder von TikTok?
Das ist die Frage dessen, woran orientiert sich unser Algorithmus im Moment? Und dann ist die Frage, woran wird sich der Algorithmus längerfristig orientieren? Im Moment orientieren wir uns in unserem Algorithmus. Also grundsätzlich muss man vielleicht vorab sagen, für diejenigen, die sich nicht so sehr damit beschäftigen, TikTok hat einen Algorithmus, der sich sehr stark auf das bezieht, was wollen Zuschauer angucken. Instagram hat in seinem Algorithmus in den Video-Reels einen stärkeren Fokus darauf auch, welche Kanäle hat man geliked und was gucken die eigenen Freunde an, was geliked haben. Und das gab eine umfangreiche Diskussion, als Instagram versucht hat, das umzustellen unter den Influencern bei Instagram, weil die durch sozusagen die Tatsache, dass TikTok stärker frischen Content promotet als Instagram halt in ihrer Reichweite gesunken sind. Julie hat an der Stelle noch eine etwas andere Ansicht. Wir wollen ja am Ende des Tages Verkäufe generieren und deswegen ist für unseren Algorithmus eine relativ wichtige Frage, wie hoch die Wahrscheinlichkeit ist, dass eine Userin oder eine User tatsächlich auf ein Produkt klickt und dann auch in dem Webshop des jeweiligen Merchants rauskommt. Das ist für TikTok und Instagram kein wirklich wichtiges Kriterium, weil Instagram im Prinzip und auch TikTok Werbung verkaufen und keine Verkäufe verkaufen. Das heißt, der Umsatz wird bei TikTok und Instagram gegenüber dem Merchant schon berechnet, wenn das Video ausgespielt wurde, unabhängig davon, ob sie darauf geklickt haben oder nicht. Für uns, die wir kommissionsbasiert arbeiten, ist es natürlich wichtig, dass die Leute auch tatsächlich ein Produkt kaufen, also sprich in das entsprechende Produkt reinklicken und dann in den Shop gehen. Sie hatten mit Ihrer Befürchtung recht, es droht jetzt abzuschweifen an der Stelle.
Ja, aber
diese Algorithmen, das ist ein relativ komplexes Thema, da können wir eine eigene Session dazu machen.
Ja, ist aber auch ein interessantes Thema. Das war es von meiner Seite schon. Vielen Dank für die Antworten.
Okay, many thanks, Mr. Friedmann. Okay. There are no further questions. So once again, many thanks for your continued trust in our company. Have a good day and bye-bye.